Well, greetings this morning in the name of the demon deliverer. Amen?
Amen.
Glory! In the name of the demon deliverer. Religious demons, demons of infirmities, demons of condemnation, demons of destruction. We greet you in the name of the demon deliverer this morning. I'm glad there's fresh grace and power for the people of God this morning, aren't you? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Paul, for that little children's lesson. My, such deep children's lessons we get around here, huh? Amen. I was thinking about that, brother. Surely it would make a good sermon for us adults. Romans 10:13. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall call on the name of the Lord as a provider. And call on the name of the Lord as our protector. And call on the name of the Lord as our Savior. And call on the name of the Lord as our deliverer. And you fill in all the other blanks. Ah, he shall be saved. He shall be saved. Praise God. All right, well, this morning I'm grateful to be here and grateful to hear this good report of what's happening out in Michigan. It's so interesting to me. You know, sometimes we study the statistics in the tape ministry. And it's a couple of years ago that we noticed all these tapes going into Michigan. Just, you know, all of a sudden there's way more tapes going into Michigan than many other places. It's interesting to me now, it's 2 years later since that observation, and I just keep hearing of another church being started in Michigan, and then another one, and something's happening over here, something's happening over there. Very interesting, those things. Well, it's good to be alive this morning, and it's good to be alive in Christ this morning. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord has laid on my heart to share with us this morning on this subject, shepherding one another. Shepherding one another. I want to speak to you this morning about the disciplines and blessings of having close relationships in Christ Jesus. Close relationships. The disciplines and the blessings of having these close relationships. These close relationships should flow out of tender, affectionate, brotherly love. Tender and affectionate brotherly love. Now we have been considering different aspects of discipleship on and off for several months now. And this matter of close relationships in Christ is a major part of making disciples and being discipled. I think we already know that. That's not a new statement to any of us here. But as we will see, it is no little commitment to enter in to the commitment of a close relationship with maybe two or three brothers. Oh, it would be wonderful if we could enter in, all of us, to that all together. But as you will see, this close relationship takes time, and you, all of us, only have so much time. But consider with me this morning the subject of shepherding one another in close relationships. This meditation this morning precedes some of the goals and dreams that we discussed in our brothers' meeting. I guess it's about a month ago now. And that subject of implementing discipleship classes and practical hands-on discipleship within the brotherhood. We've been discussing these things. The ministry, we've been discussing them. How can we implement these things? How can we cause the church to draw itself together in intimate relationships? How can we break down the walls of religion that so easily build up between us? How can we ensure that this congregation will not develop into a congregation that gathers together on Sunday morning to hear a good sermon, go their way for the rest of the week, and that's the end of it? These are burdens that we have as a ministry, and I know as a brotherhood, we don't want to do that. We don't want it to be that, even though this is a beautiful blessing to be here on Sunday morning. And we praise God for the preaching of the Word. But there's so much more than that in the Christian life, and we don't want to miss it here. So, we want to discuss that this morning. The discipline and blessing of close relationships, and I've chosen to give it the title, Shepherding One Another, and that title will explain itself as we move down through the message a little bit. We know that discipline is a stretching godly exercise. That's what discipline is. And the purpose of it is producing godliness in our lives. So we want to consider this morning, the powerful effects of these kind of exercises on our lives. And I want to hasten to say before we move into the message that this has tremendous potential, not only for us as we're sitting here, we're a large congregation of people, but for others who are out in the United States scattered hither and yon, you know, two, maybe three families sitting together in a living room somewhere. This has tremendous potential to take a little house fellowship and birth it into a solid, thriving New Testament church. It has that potential. And may God do that in some of those places. Let's open in our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 27. Let me give you a little word definition before we read a few verses here in Proverbs chapter 27. About friends. When I considered this subject of having close relationships, my heart was brought to the word friends. And that word is, like many words, has been watered down quite a bit and doesn't have a lot of meaning. But if you look at it in the word, it's a very deep word. The word friends. And studying the word friend in the Hebrew language, it comes from the Hebrew root word to tend a flock. To tend a flock. And so we get the picture there, which is where I got the title, of brothers shepherding one another, of sisters shepherding one another, of that tender care one for another, watching over each other's lives, just like a shepherd cares for his sheep. Now, that comes from the word friend, not from the word pastor. It comes from the word friend, although in the New Testament, pastor and shepherd are pretty close together. But in the Old, the word friend comes from the word to tend the flock. And so we want to propose to you this morning having a friend or two who can tend your life. Who can tend your life. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 17. Hear these words. Iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. That's a powerful word there, friend. And we have the picture there, and you know, nowadays It's not done this way very many places, but in Old Testament days, they used iron to sharpen iron. If you want to sharpen one knife, you sharpen two. You just take the two of them and back and forth you went, and back and forth and back and forth as iron sharpened iron. So, a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Beautiful picture there of one brother tending another brother, and that brother tending the other brother. And I think the picture is beautiful because it's not just a one-way thing. No, we're talking about entering into relationships, close relationships, where the one knife sharpens the other one, and then that knife turns and sharpens the other one, and then that knife turns and sharpens the other one. Back and forth and back and forth it goes. Beautiful picture. Do it, Lord, do it. In verse 5 of the same chapter 27, we find these words, "Open rebuke is better than secret love." Beautiful. Now that's what God says. Now we, from our natural perspective, we would probably not say that. Now, we know that it's right to say it, but I'm talking about deep down in our heart. I'm afraid many times we treasure secret love rather than an open rebuke. But that's not what God says. And notice the context of the next verse. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Faithful are the wounds? Wounds? Wait a minute. I don't want any wounds. I mean, tell me good things, but that's okay, but I don't want any wounds. But Proverbs says, faithful are the wounds of a friend who tends his dear brother, her dear sister. Faithful are those wounds, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. And lastly, in verse 9, look at this one. So sweet. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. What a precious word that is. I mean, that's like perfume. When one friend gives another friend hearty counsel, speaks into their life, when one friend opens up his heart to another friend and says, speak into my life, and he does. Oh, the sweet smell of perfume and ointment. It brings joy to the heart of the one who has spoken and the one who was spoken to. These are beautiful words that we get out of the Old Testament just to kind of open up the subject this morning of shepherding one another, having close, intimate relationships with a few in our fellowship. The New Testament word for friend, you can look it up. It is in the New Testament also. It is the Greek word philos, which is very closely related to phileo, which is brotherly love. Brotherly love. So, even in the New Testament, we get the idea of a tender, affectionate, brotherly love. And there's one verse that I'd like to read, and we're just giving a little introduction here, but consider this verse this morning over in 1 Peter. I know you know it, but let's just consider it this morning in 1 Peter chapter 1, where Peter is admonishing the brethren. He says in verse 22, after speaking about salvation and the glorious things that God has done in their lives, he says these words, "Seeing ye have purified your souls." How? In obeying the truth. How? Through the Spirit. And what is the result? Unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. So what Peter is saying here is, you have purified your soul, and you have done it by the Spirit, and the result that has come is an unfeigned love of the brethren. You know what unfeigned means? It means not fake. It means real. It means genuine. It means not just by duty. That's feigned love. Well, we got to go over and help so-and-so, you know. Oh, we just got to go do it, and that's just my duty, that's my obligation. Well, that's feigned love. Unfeigned love is not fake. It's sincere, out of a tender heart. And then Peter says, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. That's the tender-hearted, affectionate, brotherly love that we're speaking about. And as we consider these things in the New Testament in the context of the church, we know that it is so, that God would have these principles flowing and interacting throughout the brotherhood all the time. And I must admit, even as I share it this morning, that my goal is further than just getting two or three of you to get together in intimate relationships with one another, but rather that through that exercise, your hearts would be developed and that would overflow, that more of that kind of interaction would take place among all of the brotherhood and the sisterhood. But this is a step in that direction. That we learn that this is normal to be open and to be concerned and to get real with one another. That's the burden of the message. May I remind you this morning of the secret of the longevity of the East African revival, which lasted 30 or 40 years. James chapter 5 and verse 16. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that ye may be healed. That verse was the secret to the longevity of a revival that lasted for 30 or 40 years in Africa, East Africa. What was it? It was the openness, the humility, and the frank honesty among those African Christians which caused that spark of revival to turn into a flame and burn for 30 or 40 years. Beautiful. Do it again, Lord. They had the freedom among themselves. They gave each other the freedom among themselves in the Spirit of God. Not in the flesh, but in the Spirit of God, they gave each other the freedom to ask questions. And they would meet one another, and one would say to the other, greetings, my brother. Good morning. Do I meet thee praying this morning, brother? Whoa! In other words, are you on praying ground this morning as I meet you, my brother? Is heaven open over your life today? And the other one would not say, oh yeah, oh yeah, if it wasn't that way. Instead, he would say, no, brother, thank you for asking, but I've had some struggles this morning, and this is what I've been facing today. And the other would say, oh, my brother, let us go aside on this little jungle path and get down on our knees in the bushes over here and pray together. And they did it. They did it. They had that kind of freedom. The blessing of having an open brotherhood that they could say, how are you doing this morning, my brother? And everyone knew. That wasn't a light little statement, you know. Good morning, brother. How you doing? Oh, fine. Good. Get that out of the way. Now, nobody knows all the things I'm facing. He asked me, and I said, fine. And now we're going on to something else. But in this East African church over there in Kenya and Uganda, it wasn't that way. When they asked, how are you doing, my friend? How are you doing this morning, my brother? They all knew. That's not a light little statement. That's not just protocol or etiquette. My brother is asking me, how am I doing today? And I'm going to answer him how I'm really doing. Those kind of exercises caused the spark of revival to burn for 30 or 40 years. Do it again, Lord. Do it again. Sometimes in the morning, maybe 6:30 or 7 o'clock, I have occasion to call different brothers. Now, some of them, we've discussed the subject of the early morning and our desire to have a time in the early morning to seek God. And with those brothers, when I call them in the morning, the first thing I ask them after I say, "Good morning, my brother," and they say, "Good morning, Brother Denny," and then I say, "How is your morning? How is your morning?" Now, maybe to some, you might just answer that off real quickly. But to a few that we've discussed these things, it means, "How was your quiet time this morning, my brother?" Or it means, "Did you have any quiet time this morning, my brother?" Or it means, "Did you get up in time to have any quiet time this morning, my brother?" It means all of those things. And what a beautiful thing to be able to say, "Good morning, my brother. How was your morning?" And to hear my brother on the other end of the phone say, "Oh, praise God, it's been a beautiful morning, glory." What a joy to hear such words on the other end of the telephone at 6:30 in the morning. That's what we're talking about. How was your morning? I'm reminded this morning also of the old Methodist disciplines, if you will allow me to use the Methodists this morning. They had a few things way back there about 250 years ago that we could use a little of, and since they had something we could use, we'll use them this morning. The old-time Methodists, they had a discipline. You know, they had the little societies where they gathered together between 10 and 15 people who met together in certain localities, and there was a society leader over these little localities. And these 10 or 15 people, if they wanted to join one of these societies, they had to agree to submit to the Methodist discipline. Remember, the Methodists were called Methodists because they had methods by which they sought God together. That's where they got their name. And so, if you wanted to join one of these societies, you had to submit to the Methodist discipline. Listen to some of the list of the Methodist discipline. You must be willing, number one, to open your life to others in your weekly society meeting. Number two, you must be willing and to allow accountability in your life. You had to be willing for other people to speak to you, to speak into your life and ask you how you're doing. Here are some of the questions that they ask each other regularly on a weekly basis. And by the way, if this isn't done in the Spirit of God, it's a big flop. But it was done in the Spirit of God in the early movement of the Methodists. Questions like this: what have you faced this week? What have you faced this week week that you couldn't handle? Open up your heart and say it. Where are your battle fronts? Behind the scene, on the inside, in your mind, in your heart, where are the lines of the battle drawn? My brother, my sister, did you lose fellowship with God this week? And if you did, what happened? Good question, huh? Did I lose fellowship with God this week? What do you mean by that? I mean, did you walk with God this week? And if you didn't, why didn't you? Oh, okay. All right. How was your quiet time this week? Did you have one? And how was it? And could you share something with the rest of us that you got out of it? Here's another one. Did you share the gospel with anybody this week? If you did, share it with us. In brief, share with us the account of that person that you shared the gospel with this week. Those were the Methodist disciplines, and there are a few more, but I just scratched a few of them down that I remembered in my mind. Tremendous disciplines, brothers and sisters, but tremendous benefits also. I do believe this morning that two or three brothers or sisters can enter into a relationship together, an intimate spiritual relationship which fuels the fires of continuous revival and stirs each other on to love and obedience to God and His Word. That can happen with two or three who say, okay, let's do it. You and me, let's do it. Let's get on it. What do you say? Okay? No more games. No more pretense. No more hiding. Let's get real with each other. What do you say? Amen. Let's do it. Do you know that's what the Holy Club was in Wesley's day? That's what it was. Just a bunch of young university students that were full of zeal and had very little knowledge. But they said, hey, let's get together and exhort one another. Let's get together and keep each other accountable. Let's get together and pray and seek God together. What do you think? Amen. Let's do it. Well, I do believe that two or three brothers or sisters can enter into a relationship like that and fuel the fires of revival back and forth and back and forth in each other's lives. Recently, a brother was sharing with me his newfound freedom, victory, prayer, and joy in the Christian life. It was so sweet to listen to him. He just said, wow, I mean, heaven is open. And prayer is so easy. I find myself laying on my bed at night and I start to pray, and before the next thing I know, I'm gone. I'm just caught up in the glory, and I'm praying and I'm crying. And he was sharing all the glorious freedoms that are flowing in his Christian life. And he said to me, Brother Denny, does this thing keep on going? In other words, how much can I count on this? This is really a blessing. I looked at him and said, dear brother, welcome home. This is the Christian life. This is it. This is walking with God. That's what Christianity is. Yes, it can continue. Most definitely it can continue. You don't have to ever have to leave that thing behind again. Can I expect this thing to keep on going, or will it settle? How would you answer him? How would you answer him out of the experience of your own life? Will this thing keep on going, or is it going to settle? The answer is an emphatic no. It doesn't need to settle. This is the fruit of fellowship with God. But you need some accountability. That's what I told him. You need some accountability. You just go off all on your own. You need accountability. You need to be in a place where you can open your heart. You need to be in a place. You need to have some relationships where it's safe, where you feel safe, and you can be open and real. And I want to say this. Before we look at some practical points, let us remember what the goal is. The goal is, let us fellowship with God together. That's the goal. I'm going to be accountable to you. You're going to be accountable to me. Why? So that we can fellowship with God together. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. The goal is not to catch my brother going wrong. That's not the goal. But rather, we are helpers together of your joy, like Paul said. Helpers together of your joy. Hey, I found a gold mine. Hallelujah. Somebody help me keep it. Well, I found one too. I'll help you keep yours. You help me keep mine. Amen? Deal. Let's do it. Helpers together of your joy. That's the way Paul looked at it. He wasn't a policeman walking around looking to catch somebody doing something wrong. Amen. 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 Well, what kind of commitment does that require? Let's look at a few practical things here this morning. As we look down the road and say, yes, Lord, we want this in our brotherhood. We really want these kind of things, Father. What kind of a commitment is it? First of all, it is a commitment to honesty. I will share where I am at. I'm not going to cover. For he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. We all know that the devil does not want you to open up and speak where you are really at. He wants you to keep quiet about it. And his goal is to keep you so quiet about it that you'll feel very alone about it. And as you feel alone about it, he will push you aside and he'll get you to the edge of the fellowship. He'll put you on the back bench like a spectator sitting there on the back looking in but not entering in. And once he gets you to the back bench and he gets you into that spectator mode, then his next move is to get you outside of the door. He wants to get you by yourself. Why? Well, like any other good wolf would do, once he gets the sheep by itself, then he has a meal. So, we don't want that. So instead, we're going to say who we are. We're going to say what's been going on inside of the heart. A commitment to honesty. Number two, a commitment to accountability. I want to answer to someone. I want to answer to someone. I recognize the blessed protection of answering to someone. I give you the freedom to ask. I'm going to open my heart to you and let you know where I'm at. And then I'm going to count on you and give you the freedom to ask from time to time where I'm at. A commitment to accountability. Number three, commitment to watching and being watched. And it's a two-way street. And may I say, the picture here is a shepherd tenderly watching over his sheep, not a policeman standing with a club in his hand, watching to catch somebody who did something wrong. It's a tender shepherd watching over his sheep. Remember, we're shepherding one another. We're not looking for policemen. Watching and being watched, a two-way street. Some time ago, a pastor called me with a problem with one of his church members. He had a member in his church, and this is out of our context, and praise God, we don't have to deal with televisions and things like that, but this pastor was dealing with one of his church members who was watching all kinds of things on the television that he shouldn't be watching, and it was affecting the whole family, and the wife was burdened about it, and the pastor was burdened about it, and he called me on the phone and said, Brother Denny, what do I do? Well, I guess I didn't think very much before I answered him. I said, well, brother, just go sit down in his living room and say, my dear brother, what are you doing watching these things on the television? He said, brother, you don't realize I could never do that. We don't do things like that. He would just simply tell me, that's none of your business, Pastor, what I'm watching on my television set. You preach your sermons on Sunday morning and I'll take care of my life. And that is the typical mindset in many, many churches today. But we don't want that kind of a mindset. We don't want that. You know? Oh, I like the preaching, but leave me alone. We don't want that. Number four, a commitment of time. A commitment of time. To shepherd one another, to enter into a close relationship with two or three brothers or two or three sisters, it will take time. You can't get away from that. No time, no discipleship. So, you must be willing to get together regularly, not just drop in at church and say, so how's it going? Amen. Amen. See you next week. But a commitment of time. Deeper than that. Phone calls. A little time of prayer together. A little time of sharing. A time of opening your heart one to another. Private prayer for that person. Maybe even some study in the Word to share with my brother as I tend his flock. Time. Number five, a commitment to pray for each other. A commitment to pray. I know we say, let's pray for one another. And that's good. And we do. We hear of somebody who has a burden. We pray for them. But in reality, there's not a whole lot of prayer gets done crisscrossing like this between the brothers and the sisters. We're talking about a commitment to pray. Okay, my brother. Yes. You. It's you and me. It's you. It's you. It's me. Let's go for it. We're going to pray for each other. I'm going to get on my knees. I'm going to, in the early morning hours, though I have many things to pray about, you're on my list. And I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to lift you up to the throne. You can call me on the telephone. And let me know what you're facing. And I'll pray for you. I will. I take that upon myself. I'm willing to do it. That's the kind of commitment we're talking about. Number six, a commitment to get in the Word so that you can share with one another when you do get together. A commitment to get in the Word. And I mean get in the Word because you need to be there, but I mean get in the Word. Maybe your brother is facing some struggles. Maybe he opened up to you last week an area of need in his life. And you went to the Word and you searched out some Scriptures. And you have those Scriptures to lay before Him the next time you see each other face to face. And you can say, my brother, I've been considering the things you shared last week. Here are a few verses that the Lord laid on my heart. Take them home. Go read them. Study them. And ponder them. And let's talk about them next week. What do you say? Amen. A commitment to get in the Word together. Verses to memorize together. Or whatever. And number seven, and that'll be the last one, although I think there are many more, a commitment to speak the truth in love.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. If you would like to listen to part two of this message, please press 2 now. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Effort of Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.